Please turn in your Bibles at this time to the Gospel according to Luke. Chapter 10. As I had mentioned, or I've mentioned a number of times over the last several weeks, I had planned on preaching a series of messages through the recently presented church vision. I wanted to spend some time addressing some of these matters in the pulpit. However, the COVID restrictions that came down at that time prevented me from being able to do so in person, and so I put it on hold because I didn't want to do it online. But we're back now physically, and we did present our vision last, the leadership presented the vision last week, and I would like to begin, and at least over the next several months, not necessarily without any interlude or break, I would like to address the five components that make up the vision that was presented to you last week. And so we're going to begin so today. Before we open God's word, let us come before the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we look to you now for the good gift of understanding as we open your word, spiritual understanding. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to receive the things that you have prepared for us to learn today with a good heart. We pray that you would guide us as we open your word. We ask you to take your word and apply it to each of our lives and apply it to our life as a church. We look to you, O Spirit of God, to illuminate our hearts and to make us see the truth as it is in Jesus. Would you forgive us, Lord, for so often failing to sit at the feet of Jesus? Would you remind us today afresh of just how precious and necessary that truly is? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 10, I'll be reading verses 38 through 42. Let us hear now God's word. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Amen. And that ends our reading today of God's word. Ahead of our congregational meeting last Lord's Day, in which the subject of our church's vision was the focus, we considered the great Christian concept or theme of the one and the many, as we unpacked the 12th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, the one and the many, the one body to which we have all been called, and the many members that make up this body. each having a role to play, each having a necessary part, the one and the many. And I'll remind you that if we fail to truly understand and appreciate this concept of the one and the many, then we have failed to grasp God's design and purpose for the church. So it's very important that we understand that concept, the one and the many. Well, friends, there's another concept of the one and the many that the Bible teaches. And this concept of the one and the many is just as necessary for us to understand and appreciate. We might even say it's more so. Why is that? Because if we fail to truly understand and appreciate this concept of the one and the many that we will consider today, then we can actually put our very souls in jeopardy. You see, life is filled with a series of decisions, isn't it? One after the other. And there are genuine consequences to our decisions, for better or for worse. The world recognizes this. The world acknowledges this. But what the world does not recognize, does not acknowledge, is that of all the decisions that the world makes, moment by moment, day by day, week by week, year by year, there is only one decision that ultimately matters as far as their eternal destiny is concerned. The one amidst the many. And that one decision is to relegate every other concern of this life to a lower priority, secondary and subservient, subordinate to the one thing that is truly necessary, and that is the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, to choose Christ over everything else in this world. To choose the one over the many, the pearl of great price. Jesus tells us the man who found it sold all that he had just to obtain it. That's the decision that people must make. That is why we evangelize. One reason why we evangelize. Why we go out into the world and present this decision to those in the world in order to see them by the grace of God brought out of the world and into the church, having decided to choose that pearl of great price over everything else in this world, to choose the one true God over the many idols that tug at our hearts in this world. The Apostle Paul rejoices over the Thessalonians for their having, and I quote him here, turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven whom he raised from the dead. Christians are those who have turned to God from idols. They've chosen the one over the many. Would Paul rejoice over your salvation today? Can that be said of you, that you've turned from God to idols to serve the living and true God? Well, friends, unfortunately, the danger of idolatry does not disappear when we come into the church. While we may not bring our idols overtly into the Church of Jesus Christ, we do bring our hearts. And as John Calvin captured it well, he said the human heart is a factory of idols. It's its running trade. The human heart makes idols left, right, and center. It's very good at it. So you see, it's not hard to sneak the world into the church. You just need a human heart. Like a Trojan horse. And friends, our passage today in Luke chapter 10 stands as an instructive warning and a call to action as far as this matter is concerned. A warning against allowing the many to crowd out the one. Allowing the many cares and concerns of this life to crowd out the one thing that is truly needful, true and lasting communion with God in Jesus Christ. Our passage stands also as a call to action to come and sit at the feet of Jesus and to humbly focus on Him and Him alone and His Word, to allow the one thing needful, communion with God in Christ, to allow that one necessary thing to crowd out the many cares and concerns that come flooding into our hearts on a daily basis. So I want us to consider our passage in Luke today under four headings. Let me tell you what they are in advance. The differences that exist among true believers. Oh, we have to be very clear with that. The differences that exist between true believers. Secondly, the distractions to which we are constantly exposed in the Christian life. Thirdly, the dangers of allowing those distractions to go unchecked in our lives. And fourthly and finally, the discipline of choosing the one thing that is necessary if our spiritual life is to flourish. The differences, the distractions, the dangers, and the discipline. We'll consider in the first place the differences that exist among true Christians, which our passage teaches plainly. There is no doubt that these two sisters, Mary and Martha, are both lovers of Jesus. Saving grace is present in both of their hearts. In fact, the Bible tells us, John chapter 11, verse 5, that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. The two sisters were both disciples of Jesus. They just showed their devotion to Jesus in different ways. How did they show it? Well, Martha welcomed Jesus into her house, verse 38. She didn't just open the door and let him walk in. She invited him and she welcomed him in as a host. But we see that she was preoccupied with giving Jesus the best hospitality she could. Martha was running around serving, busy, busy, busy. But Mary's devotion to Jesus looked quite different, didn't it? Luke says, verse 39, that she sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. You see, Mary was simply enjoying being in the Lord's presence. Didn't matter how much food was on the table. Didn't matter how clean the house was. All that mattered was Jesus. But you see, friends, we have to appreciate before anything else here that no two Christians are alike. And it is not for us to try and make that the case. We have our Marys, we have our Marthas, and Jesus loves them both. Jesus loves them both. But let's consider in the second place the distractions to which we will be, or we are and will be, exposed. It is true that both sisters loved Jesus. We've considered that, and Jesus loved both sisters. However, that does not mean that both their hearts were ultimately in the perfect place, in the right place. Now, let me be clear. Martha wanted to please Jesus. In that, her heart was in the right place. But Martha's heart, we learn, was overly distracted by worldly care. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And in Martha's attention to the cares of this world, the many cares of this world, Martha lost sight of the most important part of being a Christian. Communing with the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting at his feet, listening to his teaching, learning from him. The one thing that is necessary, we'll come to consider that shortly, but Martha complained to Jesus about what her sister Mary was doing. Martha was distracted. And it threw her into a frenzy. And she lost sight of the bigger picture. And friends, the same distractions that flooded into Martha's heart will flood into ours today. They surround us every day. We live in an age of activity. If you're not busy doing, you're failing, says the world. If you're not busy serving, you're languishing, says the world. We can get distracted as a church with activities and programs and ministries. Doing, doing, doing. It makes us feel productive. Well, I want to consider in the third place the dangers of allowing these distractions to go unchecked. The dangers of allowing these distractions to go unchecked. What we need to see and appreciate is that these distractions are not necessarily bad things in themselves. Whether those are distractions that surround us at home or in the church or even as a church, these distractions are, in fact, often very good things. Our family, our homes, our jobs, our social lives, our service in the community, our service in the church, starting up that new ministry in the church. Not necessarily bad things in themselves, but these distractions, however, become dangers when they are given more place in our lives than Christ is. When these many distractions displace the one thing that is necessary. And Jesus knows that. Jesus knows that. He knows Martha's heart. What does he say in verse 41? Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. You're not just anxious, you're not just troubled. Martha, you're anxious and troubled. Martha's allowed the distractions of life to take hold of her heart. And if she's not careful, they're going to choke the spiritual life out of her, says Jesus. Jesus warns us against allowing these distractions in life to take up too much residence in our hearts. What does he say in Luke 21, verse 34? Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. Not necessarily bad things. Some of them, yeah. They're not all bad things. The distractions become dangers when we give them too much place. When we allow them to displace the one thing that is necessary, which is communion with God in Jesus Christ. Well, Well, let's consider in the fourth and final place the discipline of choosing the one over the many. The discipline of choosing the one over the many. We've seen that Martha has allowed the cares of this life, these distractions in the world, to fill up her heart and to go unchecked. Jesus calls her out on it, in love, of course. She's exposing herself, Martha's exposing herself to some pretty dangerous prospects if she doesn't take to heart what Jesus sees in her heart and is warning her against. J.C. Ryle said this: a little earth upon the fire within us will soon make that fire burn low. Oh, what a quote that is. A little earth upon the fire within us will soon make that fire burn low. You're at a campfire. Fire's burning nice, but it's time to put out the lights and go to bed. You don't have water around to put it out, but you got a big pile of dirt. You got a lot of dirt around there. You're going to put that dirt over the fire, and what's going to happen? Well, that fire is going to smolder out, isn't it? And what J.C. Ryle is saying is that if we want hearts that are on fire for Jesus, and we do, we should, we have to beware of allowing the worldly earth, the cares of this life, to come into our hearts and start to smolder that fire. And J.C. Ryle's saying it's only a little earth. You throw a little bit of earth on that fire and you douse some of the flame. Well, that's what happens in our hearts. That's why Jesus says, watch yourselves. Watch yourselves. You can be weighed down before you know it. Well, Martha's worldly distractions, left unchecked, we see, have caused her to be unsettled, worried, flustered, and frenzied. But as I said, she's still loved. Oh, Jesus loves sinners. Jesus loves to tell sinners what they need to hear. Jesus loves to instruct sinners in the way. Martha, Martha, verse 41. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, Martha. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And friends, this word of Jesus was not just meant for Martha. It wasn't even just meant for Mary and Martha. This is Jesus' personal invitation, as it were, to each one of his people to come and sit at his feet and listen to his word, to find your joy in his presence, to learn the ways of righteousness from the lips of Jesus, at the feet of Jesus. Let me read from Proverbs chapter 8. Once more, we read it earlier. Proverbs 8, 32 through 36. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my door. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. When was the last time you or I came rushing into the presence of Jesus, banging on his door, begging him to open to speak with us? We must confess we too often come to Jesus as a duty alone. When was the last time we actually rushed into his presence, said, Jesus, I want to sit at your feet. I want to hear what you would say to me. I want to be comforted in your presence, and I don't want to leave, ever. When was the last time that was the case for you or I? Oh, he's just waiting for us to come to sit at his feet and tell him how much we want to be there. He's just waiting for his people to rush into his presence. Maybe that's the cause of your missing joy these days. You're wondering where that joy goes, and you go out and you try to get it on a daily basis through things in this world, but they never satisfy. But there is joy to be found sitting at the feet of Jesus. A joy that the world knows nothing of. Nothing. Jesus says, when you find that, when you've come to sit at my feet and listen, oh, it won't be taken away from you. Well, as we begin to try and tie this all together, I want to do so for our purposes today with a view to our church's vision. Last week, the elders and deacons presented the vision along with our working vision statement. And the first sentence of that vision statement reads as follows. We recognize and submit to our privilege and duty of devoting ourselves to learning the inexhaustible riches of God's grace in Jesus Christ, that we may be rooted and grounded in God's love and fully equipped for every good work. And let me say this, if we are not, as individuals, as families, and as a church, for our considerations here, sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word, then we will not be fully equipped and ready to fulfill our calling in this world. So we must start here, at the feet of Jesus, submitting ourselves to him, listening to his word. The distractions will always be there. They're not going away. More programs, more ministries, more service in the community, more efforts towards social justice. Verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Friends, the other things have a place. But there's only one thing that's necessary. And that's where we have to start. Martha was up in arms because Jesus's fish was about to become overcooked while she was busy preparing her famous olive and fig salad for him. And she was in a frenzy. She lost sight of the bigger picture. And friends, we're going to invite the same prospect when we allow the distractions to displace the main event. When we opt for the many over the one, when we allow the many to displace the one thing that is necessary sitting at the feet of Christ and listening to his teaching and building our lives upon that foundation, allowing Jesus to teach us what our church should be doing, allowing Jesus to teach us what programs and ministries he would have us implement, allowing Jesus to teach us how to bear witness to and engage in our community, allowing Jesus to teach us what true biblical social justice really is. So may God help us as a church, as individuals, as families, and as a church to choose that good portion which will not be taken away from us. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that through the ministry of your Spirit, you would take the truth of your word and use it in our lives, penetrating the depths of our hearts, delivering us from the cares of this world, from being weighed down by the cares of this world, and bringing us to that place where we, like Mary, are just content sitting at your feet, listening to your teaching. We do not want to be lazy. We know we must go out and serve, but we know we have to start where Mary was and allow you to shape our vision as you shape us after your own image. Help us to that end, we pray, God. In Jesus' name, amen.